Forward!
The band with Chunky went along with them, being part of the larger group. David and the rest of the Corps went by another road to Middleton, where they all met up later. Chunky and the band again led the brigade when they joined David's Corps between Middleton and Hagerstown.
Forward! Double quick, men!
The company moved on a few miles further and then made camp on the banks of Goose Creek by a mill dam. It was a splendid place to swim, and everybody took a bath. In the afternoon, when the rear guard came into camp, they brought with them about a dozen to 15 long-legged, narrow-chested, pleasant Virginia farmers. They had their hands in their pockets and stood around, shouldered like a hound in a mush pot. They were held under a strong guard. It rained some during the night, and they were the picture of distress the next morning. David learned overnight from Chunky that two men had had their ears cut off and two other men had been found with their throats cut. They all belonged to their brigade. This was the reason for bringing these innocent, peaceable farmers into the camp. What was done with them, no one ever said. To most of the men, they all looked as if
hanging might be too good for them.
David told Chunky,
I always had a respect for a man who, being an enemy, would declare himself such and come out and fight. But I never had any love for those innocent bushwhackers.
They remained camped on the banks of the creek till the afternoon. Then the order came to move about a mile back from the creek and then camp near a farmhouse. The old farmer was rebel to the backbone. He would not take the oath of allegiance, and the boys took everything he had and would have carried off the farm, but he took the oath and a guard furnished him a cigar. But no one would give the old dirt farmer a match to light it. They torched his farm instead. Along towards dusk, once again, it was David's turn to be one of the 75 from the regiment that had picket detail that night. The men were marched to division headquarters, where they were ordered to load their guns. They were joined by other details from other regiments, in all about 300 men. Altogether, they were placed under the charge of three mounted officers, which started them for the picket line. They were to relieve the pickets who were out on duty. The night was pitch dark, and they could not see the man that was in front of them. So in order to keep together, each man took hold of the coattail of the man in front of him. They had to cross fields, which had ditches, which had been washed out by heavy rains. It was no uncommon incident to find five or six men on top of each other in a ditch, with the same number taking a tumble over a big stone. Sometimes when the man in front took a short step, and the man following behind him took a short step, and all the men, when they pasted that spot, took a short step to keep from falling. Their relief came at dawn, and after arriving back at camp, the men slept right through breakfast. In the afternoon of the 24th, the company was notified to pack. The men were well rested, and most of them felt ready for the road.
Forward!
The afternoon's march was only 8 or 10 miles to Edwards Ferry on the Potomac River. The order came down to make camp near a farmhouse on a bluff half a mile back of the river. The company waited there for the completion of the bridge that was still under construction. This gave David the free time to get with Chunky and make some coffee. The two friends did not see each other as much these days, but the time spent together made them feel like things would be all right. Later, the diary was brought out for some writing by the campfire.
24th of June, 1863. Today we had just a little fun. Our neighbors in one of the German regiments had found a sow and 10 pigs, and the pigs were nice and plump, about 10 weeks old. They were nice for roasting. The Dutch had killed all the pigs by the time I got around, and were just going for the old sow. She was about 5 feet long and 3 feet high and 6 inches wide. They had caught her and were holding a council of war over her. Some wanted her killed. Others thought that she was too lean. Able remarks were made on both sides. The final decision was to let her go, and she was pardoned.
The men retired to their bunks early because of indications that they were to have a hard day's march on the morrow. Even the officers did not know at what hour they might take a notion to start moving again.
25th of June, 1863. Reveille sounded about 3 o'clock and we were early crossing the pontoon bridge, which seemed to be a mile long. By keeping step, we got quite a swing on it. We received many commands to break step, but we felt like giving the officers a good swing and gave them a shaking up before we got across. We also got our shaking up before night. We went through Poolsville and up the Potomac, then turned a northeastern direction and crossed a mountain. It rained in the afternoon. Very cold rain. On arrival near Jefferson, Maryland, in the evening, we were tired and wet. We camped in a nice field. The farmer turned out 3 teams to haul cordwood to save his fences. But impatiently, we made a raid on a fence. The order of the officer was that we should only take the top rail, which we did until we reached the bottom and took that also if it was not rotten. We had cleaned up about 100 rods of fence by the time the teams arrived with the cordwood.